So, what makes the original Hooters so special? Everybody wants to know our secret recipe. The answer is simple. We care about our people, the food we serve, our guests, and the community around us. We created a unique experience like no other, like watching your favorite team with an ice-cold beer and world-famous chicken wings served by a legendary Hooters girl. What could be better? To us, originality isn't just one thing. It's everything. Hooters, always original.
Your playoff push begins. This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Hooters has been our presenting sponsor for the last 8 years. Visit originalhooters.com if you're in the greater Tampa Bay area for easy online ordering, as well as specific location information. If you go to the Johns Pass Village location, please ask for the man whose name is on the door, Tony Metzler. He plays in one of our leagues. He's a big supporter of the podcast as well as Todd Wright Tour Golf Tournaments. And Tony has worked very hard to get Johns Pass Village back up and running and would love to see you out there. It is one of 11 locations in the greater Tampa Bay area. Thanks to Hooters for their continued sponsorship of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Email is right.todd@yahoo.com. Sort of three things I want to get into. Number one, if you are an owner of CeeDee Lamb, I would imagine you are very concerned, and rightfully so. You have gotten wide receiver one value pretty much to this point. But now that you know there will be no Dak Prescott returning for the Cowboys at any point, and you have seen what Cooper Rush and Trey Lance can't do, you may be looking at your options to either sell high on CeeDee Lamb to someone who wasn't paying attention or doesn't realize Dak's done for the year. Don't assume other people know as much as you. You don't want to insult people with trades, but I'd give you an example. If you have a team that right now looks like they wouldn't make the playoffs, and they are both wide receiver and running back deficient, and you have depth at running back, perhaps you can send Lamb with that depth at running back, a player, and ask for one wide receiver in return, just one, as one proposal. Then send another proposal with someone else that looks expendable for them, and you never know if it will be accepted or not. I never want to send trades that are insulting, but at the same time, Lamb still could bring you something in return. There could be someone who believes Lamb is now the only thing that Dallas will have going forward, and they value Lamb more than you. So don't give up. Walk the line. Try to figure it out. If you can't move him, you might think about how do you replace him, independent of trading him, acquiring another wide receiver, finding one on waivers, plug and play until you get something that settles in. I've done way too much, I'll admit this year. If I don't win a fantasy championship this year, at least in one league, I'm going to kick myself for how many receivers I owned and then released. Because many of them, not on a weekly basis, but enough, are showing they had more value. And I got a little too aggressive with the waiver wire as it related to wide receivers. Not so much with running backs. I've been very stable at running backs. Knowing the value of running backs this year has been very high. But I've gotten away from some wide receivers that I shouldn't have gotten away from just off, say, one bad game. But CeeDee Lamb at this point, if you are an owner of Lamb, you are rightfully concerned that he's not going to produce not only wide receiver one numbers for you going forward, but I just don't know that you can start him. You would have to see something significantly better from Cooper Rush, Trey Lance. Will Greer is back on the roster. It just doesn't look very good. So there's the comment on a big-time player who has helped his fantasy owners really until the most recent week that now you can't count on as a set it and forget it player. We've had a lot of injuries impact that all year. So Lamb's going out as McCaffrey's coming back in. So for those of you that waited around for McCaffrey, you probably expected more, but you still got McCaffrey on the field, McCaffrey involved in his first game back, and you still have a handful of games in the regular season and hopefully playoffs for him to reach the level that you invested that number one overall or close to number one overall draft pick. And if you're a Jordan Mason owner, you kind of know where this is going, but you enjoyed Mason for the first half of the year. Last Sunday kind of reminded you that he's fine to stash as a handcuff, but he's not someone you can start unless McCaffrey goes down again. Now, one deal I made in one of my leagues in the coalition this past week, I'm starting to look ahead at what can I do to win a championship because my team is good. I don't think it is a championship team, but I don't want to blow it up. So I thought about something, and I like to target owners in leagues that fall into two categories. One, they're open to making a trade. And two, they're below me in the standings. So I found an owner that fit both criteria, and I simply reached out to him and asked for a player who hasn't played for him for weeks, that is sitting on the bench, injured, and we're not sure of the return date. I successfully made a deal like this a few years ago in a league and acquired a player who came back in time only for the fantasy championship and had an enormous game, AJ Brown. I literally had him active for 1 week. I traded for him about a month in advance of that in the hopes he could help me win a fantasy championship. I did win that fantasy championship. And the offer was made to a team below me in the standings where I said, do I have someone that can help you now? And I'll take the risk and the potential reward on the back end. Because sometimes it's tough to justify hanging on to a player who's not helping you now if by the time he's ready to help you, you're out. You know? So why was I hanging on to this guy? So I made a deal like that this week in the coalition where I acquired Isaiah Pacheco. We don't have anything hard and fast on when Pacheco returns, but I'll take the risk that Pacheco can help me in the fantasy playoffs, maybe even just before. Now, I still have to get there. Nothing is guaranteed in the coalition. I may have to make another move. And I offered two running backs that were on my roster, not my RB1, to help this owner now. Ironically, the running back he chose didn't help him. Replaced a running back who did nothing with a running back who did nothing. But we made the deal. It was made in good faith, and it was just before game time on Sunday. And sometimes if you catch people at the right time when they're trying to put together their lineups and they're thinking fantasy, they'll want to do a deal. So I'm hoping Pacheco does come back, will have a full workload, and be very motivated to help the Chiefs not only win another Super Bowl, but we're starting to get to that point now where we talk about them making perfect season history. We got a long ways to go, but we're getting close. So Pacheco's return might fall in line with that, rather than, hey, you know, let's wait to use him in the true NFL playoffs. No, there may be a reason to use him in the regular season, which would benefit fantasy owners of him now, like me. Last thing I want to do on this week's podcast is just sort of a cross section. I'll remind you of the buys this week. And the big bye weeks are coming, week 12 and week 14. This week it's Arizona, so no Kyler Murray, no James Conner, no Marvin Harrison. Carolina, no Chuba Hubbard. Giants, no Tracy, no Neighbors. Tampa Bay, no Baker, no Bucky, no Rashad White, who has recently done more for his owners than all season, and no Kate Otten, who's been the number one target recently for Baker Mayfield. So all on bye, be aware of that with your Week 11 lineups. But I did a cross-section. I took the top five teams in the 12-team coalition. I took the top four teams, this is sort of based on points as much as anything, in the foundation. So these are the top teams in the league. And I just listed their players. Now, they may have lost an injured player weeks ago that's no longer there. I know Rice was on one of these rosters and was basically a wide receiver one until he was injured with the Chiefs. But I looked for, across multiple leagues with the best teams, what names came up the most and the most significant. The tight end is Kittle, and he's been very consistent and productive in recent weeks as Travis Kelce has finally reached a point that looks like the Travis Kelce of old. Kittle has been doing it for longer than Kelce, but two tight end names, you know. Wide receiver-wise, the names that came up the most, and it's not that they're the top wide receivers in fantasy football, but the names that were duplicated across both of my leagues by the good teams were Amon-Ra, McLaurin, Nico Collins, who should be coming back for your playoff push, and the Texans really need him. Really need him. The Texans are pretty much Joe Mixon and defense and Fairbairn. Stroud, Slowick need Nico back because Diggs isn't coming back. Mentioned McLaurin, Amon-Ra. Brian Thomas has been very good this year. That could be dropping off with the continued problems for the Jaguars and questions around the quarterback position. The running backs, which is more than anything this year, you're not going to win a fantasy championship if you did not have multiple productive running backs to get you into the playoffs, maybe get you a first round bye, and then produce in the playoffs. And the names that came up most often on the best teams, no particular order, Brian Robinson, Saquon Barkley, Derrick Henry, Alvin Kamara. Big four there. And I know there are others. Robinson was a very good value late. Henry was someone that some passed on because he was changing teams and he was older. I didn't. It's paid off for me. Barkley, I did pass on. Wish I hadn't. I did the Barkley's Remorse podcast after week one, and it's not changed. And Kamara's just been really good on an average at best team. He is still someone you can play every week, and he's going to get the work and give you opportunities to score fantasy points. And the quarterback is Lamar. And we're going down this road of him being named league MVP again. Already talked, will he be actually unanimous MVP? He's a fantasy regular season quarterback. Because I said it last year before the playoff flop, and I'll say it again this year. I don't believe he's going to get the Ravens a Super Bowl. And I would expect some of the same issues in a postseason game, either holding a double-digit lead or trying to come back from a double-digit halftime deficit, even with Derrick Henry on the Ravens. But from a fantasy standpoint, he's been outstanding this season, even with Derrick Henry putting up huge rushing numbers. Questions, write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by Hooters. Thank you so much for listening. Good luck. We'll talk to you next time.